मशीन लगाऊंगा, इस साइड से आलू घुसेगा, उस साइड से सोना निकलेगा।
Podcast now on video. If you like this podcast, kindly like, share, subscribe. You know what to do. So today I wanted to talk about Rinku Singh, but I'll leave it at that. I'll wait for the tournament to finish before I get to IPL, or maybe not. I don't know. But today I want to talk about history, especially about, I think it's, I'm perhaps a news cycle behind. But for those of you who haven't been following the news, apparently the NCRT, they dropped certain chapters or certain references to the Mughals and Islamic emperors. And they also changed some text about Gandhi and the RSS. So I'm somebody who loves history. And I thought I've discussed these things before. So those of you who follow my podcast might not find something totally different here. But I wanted to kind of collect my thoughts on history and rewriting history and what is known as revisionism, which is either rewriting history or removing things and people from history. So George Orwell it is who said that, you know, and I might not be quoting him exactly, but who controls the past controls the future. And this is especially true for today's government. Who controls the present controls the past. So the official reason and the official reason why the Mughals were quote unquote dropped from the NCRT textbooks, again, it's not been totally dropped. So let's be factual here too. But certain sections have been dropped. And that initially the history syllabus was reduced to compensate for the disruption caused by COVID. Bless you, everyone. I think the history syllabus should be reduced as somebody who has suffered through it myself. And now what the NCRT has done is that it has decided to make those changes permanent. So that's also good. I mean, there's no reason why we should burden children with a lot of history. I mean, I think every subject there should absolutely be a reduction in the syllabus. That's all of us, we can agree with that. So I think what they said was that they feel, and this was perhaps the more controversial part, which if this chapter is dropped, it won't affect the knowledge of children. Now, that's not true. It will affect. Now, what we decide to drop, I think that's where the controversy is should the Mughals be dropped from history? So again, we know the left wing and the right wing argument, but I just want to focus more on what I was trying to see. What was the right wing saying about this? What was the justification? So first of all, let's talk about Arnab Goswami, and, or as he likes to call himself, the nation's sharpest opinion, apparently. So he starts off his monologue is, were Mughals very good? Why is the Lutyens intellectual so concerned? So everything, his second sentence is always Lutyens intellectual. And of course, through the monologue, you'll see that he keeps on saying the same thing over and again, again and again and again. There's nothing really much that he has to say, first of all, because he doesn't know. His researchers don't have the intellectual depth to even study the topic, because he's interested in just rhetoric, empty rhetoric, and he's interested in basically consuming TV footage so that they can run the advertisements below him. So that's really his game. It's a magic trick, and a very bad magic trick also. So he's saying that if everything, it's as if, so what Arnab Goswami says is, everybody says that everything great in the country was done by the Mughals. Now, honestly, I don't think anybody is saying that. This is, again, of course, another one of Arnab Goswami's very transparent tricks, which is the straw man. And it's not just a little bit of a straw man, it's a huge straw man. And then he goes on to say, and this was hilarious, according to this school, there are two dynasties who have contributed to the country, the Mughals and the Vadra Gandhi. So somehow he brings the Vadras and the Gandhis. And to those who follow my podcast know I have very little love for the Gandhi dynasty, but to conflate them with the Mughals is another level of delusion. Now, Arnab Goswami is a joke. Let's be honest. He's a joke at this point of time. He's a very successful joke, but he's a joke nonetheless. And ordinarily, I would not have to dignify his rants to sell ad space by discussing it. But it is also true that he is influential in the way that Chetan Bhagat is now considered to be a public intellectual and influential figure in Indian English literature. So we have to deal with what he's saying in a way. You can't just wish it away. And that's one of the things about history too. You can't wish history away just by refusing to acknowledge its existence. That's really the crux of what I'm going to say. Now, there is another school of thought which says that the history of Hindu dynasties does not get as much prominence as that of the Mughals and the Delhi Sultanate. So the maritime empires of the Cholas, the Pandyas of Madurai, the Cheras of Kerala, they don't get that amount of prominence. Now, there is a valid argument, of course, for this. And as somebody who went through history a long time ago, but that was the West Bengal syllabus, I would say absolutely that there was only a short note on the Cholas. The amount of prominence that they were given was nothing compared to what the Mughals were given. That is absolutely true. And that is, again, a legacy of how the Gandhi family rewrote history. That is absolutely true. But two wrongs don't make a right, which is really the point of this podcast. So one reason, you could of course say that it was the more communal reason, but there's another thing which is very important. It is that the history books were written by North Indians. So NCRT and the Delhi crowd were almost all North Indians, and these were all South Indian dynasties. So this was a part of it, not just so much of erasing Hindu history, it was more the North Indian centric nature of the people who wrote history, the history books. That is, I think, more important, honestly, than that. There might have been that, but I think it's more important is that their main focus was always North India, the people who wrote the history books. So even in Bengal, I would say that the local Bengali dynasties were given much less prominence when I learned history. I don't know if it's changed since then, than Mughals. The Mughal emperors had a disproportionate amount of coverage in our history. But there were other Hindu kings too who also had coverage, but they were all North Indians. Chandragupta Maurya, Samudragupta, Ashoka, they were all there. So they were always there. The Mauryas and the Guptas had prominence. The Mughals had prominence. So it was not as if the Hindu dynasties were like shoehorned into a dark corner to just say that the Mughals contributed everything to Indian history. No, that was not true. But the unifying factor is they were all essentially North Indian dynasties. And I think that in the discussion, this is not sufficiently brought forward. This is, in my mind, the real explanation as to that bias. So I'm perfectly fine with that bias being rectified. That is perfectly fine, but that still doesn't make me understand why the Mughals have to be thrown out. Syllabus can be reduced consistently, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that one portion of 5 pages need to be torn out. Syllabus can be reduced in a much cleverer way, right? By reducing the total length of the book rather than by tearing 5 pages away from the center of the book or from page 6200. So what is interesting to me is that both Arnab Goswami, Arnab Goswami, again, nobody takes it seriously as an intellectual argument, but definitely it's a very populist WhatsApp argument. But one of the things that actually comes from leftist history is this notion of decolonization. So many people will frame the removal of Mughals from history books as a progressive move. And so let's talk a little bit about decolonization. So I know I'm oversimplifying here, but decolonization essentially means their thesis, and much of it is true. I agree with a lot of what they say is essentially a lot of the ways, the fundamental ways in which we think about events, about what is right or what is wrong, is based on our colonial conditioning that has persisted through centuries. So the fact that we laugh at somebody whose English isn't good, that's because even though none of us were alive when the British ruled us, people who are listening to this podcast, we have somehow imbibed that generational English is superior to other languages. It's not just another language. A person who can't speak English well or who mispronounces English is somebody who's supposed to be laughed at. So this is an example of colonization. We don't care if the British guy says, Ami tomake bhalobashi. Oh, that's so cute. He's saying it in Bengali. But if a Bengali guy talks in an English in a very Bengali accent, then that's he doesn't know how to speak English. So this is the colonial mindset. And this is just a small example of it, but this is kind of all pervasive. That's what decolonization says. And what decolonization, and that's the D part of it, is that they want to remove that. They want to bring history or our consciousness back to that pristine state that it was before it was colonized. And this, by the way, is not a right-wing retelling of history. This is extreme left-wing telling of history. This is what it was in the West. So for them, history is basically a tattoo. You can remove it through skin grafting. Now, again, as I said, this is an ultra-progressive historical school. Critical race theory actually is an offshoot of this. And there is something called, if those of you don't know, it's you guys can go to Wikipedia, just like everything else. There's something called the 1619 Project, which I believe won the Pulitzer, which is a pop culture way of, I'm just saying pop culture as in it's not culture, but it was like in New York Times. So it's not like academic history. So it was very popular and very influential. So it's called the 1619 Project. This is for US, which basically is revisionist historiography. It's not much different from removing the Muggles from the history books, which says, and again, I'm oversimplifying here, is that the so-called American heroes, the George Washingtons and the Abraham Lincolns, aren't actually heroes. And that America must confront, and that America is fundamentally a country which is built on slavery and the oppression of racial minorities. And that is built into every American institution, from the courts to name every American institution, as well as its historical figures. Every historical figure that they revered is basically a villain. Obviously, white Americans. So that's really what the 1619 Project is. And where they're right is that a lot of Black history has not been told to students. Just like we feel that the Chola Empire and everything, we've not given them the sufficient amount of importance that they deserve in our history books, they say exactly the same thing. And many of it is true. There are things that have happened in the US that many people don't know, which is about racial oppression. And they have been systematically removed from their history books. Again, we should be very careful about taking this parallel between US and India too closely, because it's not true. I've said before, you know, there are many people who now take their cues from reading the New Yorker and BuzzFeed. So they want to basically make an equivalence between the American right and the Indian right. No, there is no equivalence. It's a totally different beast. So in America, it is actually been true. They didn't have the Gandhi family and Nehru's to basically rewrite history for them. That never happened to them, right? So they were given another form of rewritten history, which was essentially just the history of the colonial oppressors. So now what they're saying is remove all of that. Let's have real history. So again, my point is they remove all that part. Yes, we should definitely have more history. We should definitely teach kids, children, about the stories of racial oppression, about how America was built. That is absolutely important. But that is also absolutely important in India too. And that is really the point that I'm trying to get to. So coming to the Hindu writer saying, well, the Mughals were colonialists too. We need to remove them from history and tell the real story of India, which is decolonized from the Mughals. Now, I remember that Shashi Tharoor, in one of these lit meets, that this was the only time I guess I talked to him, he was essentially saying, he was basically making simplified decolonialization arguments about the British. I think one of the things he said, which I found particularly alarming, was take Victoria Memorial and make it into a museum of anti-colonialism against the British. Like, take their biggest colonial monument essentially Babri Masjid it. That's really what he was saying. You know, basically turn it, destroy the original intent of being being dedicated to Queen Victoria and make it anti-Victoria. So I asked him that, and I never in favor of this, even though I'm not a colonialist. I think there should be another, there definitely should be a museum of anti-colonialism, but it doesn't have to be housed in Victoria Memorial. Victoria Memorial should be Victoria Memorial. You can't paint over colonial history like that. So I asked him during dinner that your logic, exact same logic can be used on Muslim invaders. That's the same logic for Babri Masjid, right? You can say the exact same thing. So how can you say that? And he said, oh, no, the Mughals were not like the British. You know, they didn't leave the country. First of all, the Mughals tried to leave the country many times. They couldn't because their original homeland was in turmoil, right? That's history. So it's not that it was a voluntary thing. Oh, we love India so much. No. And they didn't come here to spread their music and bring biryani to us. They came here to loot and pillage. Let's accept that. They were colonialists to this, no different from the British. So that part, saying that the Mughals were not colonialists, is again a lie. There's no two ways of saying that. It is a big lie. So the thing is, are we then decolonizing them? Is it justified? And so here's my take. My personal opinion is that history just cannot be changed. It can't be rewound like a VHS tape. We live with the influences of history, good, bad, and ugly. Just like the Muslims of today should not be made to answer for the crimes of Babur, which is that Babur ka aulad thing. Neither should white children be made to answer for the crimes of their ancestors, which is what many schools nowadays do, actually, unfortunately, as part of the 1619 project and its offshoots. Nobody is responsible. The range of culpability for our actions is individual, and it is for the duration of our lifetimes. What I have done, you cannot pass that, the bad karma, 5 generations down. You can't do that. You can't do the value judgment, but you should tell them. There's a difference between judging them, saying that this country, everything is evil, Muslims are Babur ka aulad. There's a difference between that and covering up the crimes of Babur himself. There is a huge difference. So instead, what I think should be done is don't remove the Mughals. It's important for children not to romanticize Akbar in the Jodha Akbar style. Akbar wasn't a monogamous romantic guy from Romeo Juliet, as was portrayed in Jodha Akbar, which is unfortunate for many. Unfortunately for many people, that's the only history they know. It is important to tell the truth about the Mughals, when who they were, why they came, and what they did. And that includes some good things. Gardens, arts, biryani. Yes, there were also some good things the British did too. That's also true. But they didn't come here to do good. The good was an accidental byproduct. They basically came here to do evil, and they did that in ample proportions. The amount of evil they did is dwarfs the amount of good they did. But yeah, they did do some good. That's true. But that's done by any colonial power. Even in England, even in the US. They built the railways. Yes, they built a lot of things. But they didn't build it for the oppressed. They built it for themselves. The Mughals didn't build the gardens for the many people who they killed and converted and their places of worship that they destroyed. No, they built the gardens for themselves. Now the gardens stay there, nice gardens. They're beautiful. That's true. The Victoria Memorial is a beautiful building. But it doesn't mean that Victoria and the British Crown were not owners of slaves. That's also not true. That also should not be removed from the history books, should be present in the history books. And I don't think anybody has a problem with the British Empire. I think other than outside England, where people say that Winston Churchill was like Winnie the Pooh, I think most of us know what they were. But with Mughals, there is this problem of awareness. So it's either let's not talk about them, or let's present an ultra-romanticized idea of who they were, because we are afraid that if we tell the truth, that would have an implication on the Muslim population of India today, which it shouldn't. So the point is, history In this day and age, honestly, you can't hide history. In the 50s and 60s, Jawaharlal Nehru could hide history. Jawaharlal Nehru and his band of oligarchs. When I say Nehru, I don't mean just him and his band of oligarchs in Delhi. They could hide history because there were, I mean, if you maintained your overlordship over JNU and certain other institutions and in the history faculty, you basically could write history the way you wanted. There was no internet, nothing. But nowadays, you just can't do it. So it's essential for countries to encounter the truth of their history without trying to either romanticize it or to remove it. So no, the Mughals should not be removed from history, but the good and bad of what they did should be told them. It is important for, and that's really the importance of history. The importance of history isn't can we roll back history? Can we bring ourselves back to this pristine pre-Mughal times or pre-British times? No, that is not possible. And if you try to do it, that will create unrest today. That will create bad history today. That is the thing. It's never worked out well trying to rewind history. And usually demagogues have used history as a way to perpetrate crimes in the future, in the present. So history cannot be rewound, but history could be told in its true detail, not by removing history, but by saying what the truth was in history. So that today was today's podcast. I will be back hopefully next week or in 2 weeks. Till then, stay well. Bye-bye.